Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Yeah, your camera is a little fuzzy, but we can see you.
Okay. Thank you. Don't know.
Body is dissolving. The touch of body-based knowledge is dissolving, and you're no longer completely a form.
Perhaps.
Your eye is becoming formless eye.
Now, Alan went dark.
Yeah, I
He's
tried to
formless.
find. I just tried to find which bottom you should. There's something somewhere on these gimmicks, but I don't.
Oh, if anybody knows, let me know.
Exactly.
Oh, to clear up the picture, you mean?
Y yeah.
Maybe your camera eye, the eye of the camera.
Yeah, that might be if you
Yeah.
wanna like. Like put something and polish that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, hang on. I'll go get something.
All right, very good.
It looks like they're constantly putting new little things down here on this bar. Like they have many new things. Those tools and reaction, the chat with like multiple different, and you've got notes and whiteboard and wow.
I have a lens wipe here.
There you go.
We'll see. Oh. I
Yeah,
can see
that's
myself
definitely very good.
sometimes.
We can
Yeah,
definitely
back
see
in
you
day
much
you
better.
can. It's been a while since I Zoom, so maybe. I'm back in my form.
I saw that somebody asked on the YouTube about what I meant when I said the size of. They said, what does that mean, the size of? And I was speaking about the experience of presence. The when that was first in my awareness, there was it was just very small, mostly world and busy thoughts and all this sort of stuff, but there was just this, I called it at the time like a center of peace. Almost like the eye of my higher power, at the time I was speaking about it that way. And the more the concentration was, it seemed to grow. And now, of course, the understanding is the more you pay attention to your own selfless self, the less your awareness of thoughts, world, busyness, all this sort of thing. So it's just like when in the ashram, I remember telling Maharaj that I felt like I was expanding into all of the ashram. It was a very strange feeling because I'm sitting there, I'm playing cymbals, and there's just this feeling of total expansion, like I filled the room. And the understanding then, as Maharaj pointed, was it's dissolving. Nothing's expanding. The illusory existence is dissolving. The body-based pressure is dissolving. See, reality doesn't change. So whether I'm perceiving expansion or I'm perceiving whatever I'm, that reality does not change. It's just the removal of the illusory layers. When the pressure of the body is not so much, then the feeling of expansion is basically through the mind of understanding that I'm expanding. But behind the mind, there's no change. Because mind, ego, intellect came along with the body, and the body is not expanding. The body is no longer pressuring of I'm someone, because I'm sitting there, I'm playing cymbals, I'm such in bliss, being in the ashram and doing the bhajan, moving. I didn't really sing the bhajan, but I would like move and hum and play the cymbals. And so it was not body touch. And the same thing happens if you're just sitting, you say, oh, I can't sing bhajan. Okay, you put the headphones on and listen to bhajan. As Maharaj says, the spirit is very happy of the bhajan. And while you're getting into this spiritual happiness, this selfless self-intoxication, you're not concerned with the body form.
Yes.
And that's why the, you know, our lineage had prescribed bhajan 3 times a day. Because you're in touch with your selfless self. Shaking the body-based concepts. And so that's what was meant by, at first, this feeling of presence was the size of a dime. And every moment I tried to dive into that because there was a feeling of peace that was there. And of course, again, it's the concept of John that's disturbing the peace that is always there. So by beginning to put attention onto this feeling, this sense of presence, this subtle, subtle, just I feeling, or this I am, which at the time I hadn't read Nisargadatta Maharaj yet, so I didn't understand I am and presence and this sort of thing. It was just this feeling that I equated to the spirit of God, that this was God here. And the more I paid attention to God, the more the worship was directed towards God, this presence, the size of a dime, grew. That was the perceiving in my awareness. Again, the truth, nothing was expanding. There was dissolving, dissolution of the body-based concepts, dissolution of the body-based knowledge. And within the dream, that's when I had, I am that. Because one of the requirements to go and see Maharaj on the website, it said, please read I Am That. And please read Master of Self-Realization so that you have some understanding of what Maharaj will be speaking about. So I went on the internet, I bought those 2 books, and I Am That I enjoyed very much, and I just kept reading it over and over and over and over. The first time I read Master of Self-Realization, I read a little bit of it and then put it down because it was just, I couldn't understand what in the world they were talking about. You know, it was just so foreign. And yet, because this was, quote, required reading for going to the ashram, okay, Master. And I had a picture of Maharaj. I was like, Master, I'm going to sit down. I may not be able to read this in the same way I read I Am That, but I'm going to try to read as much as I can and try to grasp what it's talking about. And that's the spiritual journey within the illusory world.
Yes.
You know, because we get the book knowledge, and the book knowledge is basically saying, like, I Am That was very conversational, and the things that Nisargadatta Maharaj were saying, they were hitting points. And then Siddharameshwar Maharaj, he got into much more of the like Ram and different various spiritual terms and words and sadhana and these sort of things that I was not familiar with. But in reading, then you start to, at least in my own experience, started to feel the presence through the words in the book that was being read. And then I didn't hang myself up so much on the words. It was more that feeling that was, again, the feeling of expanding, the feeling of peace, the feeling of presence.
Yeah, I had the same problem when I read I Am That. I couldn't. My friend's like, "You have to read this." And I'm like, "I'm not getting it." And then he would try to explain it to me. And then I was like, "Well," and then I read some other guy's book that didn't have anything to do with the Maharaj, but it kind of brought me back to the Maharaj, because then I
Okay.
realized later on kind of what was going on. So I went like in about a million circles before I came back.
But the earnestness was there. That's the most beautiful thing. The earnestness and the continuation and the desire to know.
It's
Really good.
I almost made it to see him, but he unfortunately passed away before I could get there, so.
But now he's here. Like, this is the more you know yourself in a real sense, you absolutely know. Oh, I didn't miss seeing Maharaj because Maharaj was never body. And all Maharaj did was tell me I'm not body. And now, as I'm discovering this truth, I'm with Maharaj. There's no separation. It's not possible.
Yeah, that's true.
And then with the images, that for me is the big thing, where it's I very much enjoy bowing to the image of Maharaj. And then the understanding was, even when body form of Maharaj, when you were bowing, it's the same as this image. It's the presence. And the form that I happen to be worshiping or devotion to the master really doesn't matter, because it's that presence to presence. And that's that. Oh yes, and bowing. And I know in Selfless Self it says a lot of devotees didn't want to, or people who visited at the ashram, they didn't want to bow, and they didn't want to bow to the masters. But this is because of the understanding of I'm bowing to some guy who everybody says is a great master. It's like. And then the understanding that Maharaj imparts is, you're not bowing to me. You're bowing to your own selfless self. The you and the me does not exist.
That's a good point. I would have been so happy to bow to him, though. It would have been a nice.
Absolutely. Yeah, in my own experience, it was very important for me to go and basically thank this sensation of presence that I was labeling a power greater than myself. And I could bow at the feet, knowing that the presence was in this body form. And I was so very grateful to lay my hands my right on his feet, because there was the understanding that, thank you. Thank you, Master. Somehow, some way, the illusory world was, there was a little door the size of a dime, and you gave me the courage, the strength, and the power to jump in. And again, that's within the illusion. Presence, plain presence, just enjoying. That's why Maharaj, when he says the I, when you sit there, I just posted something on Instagram, be calm and quiet and just see what's there. Just I, without any shape or form. And when this I, this sense of presence, is known as I, then the world just is, that's gone, because formless presence is now the I. This I, this subtle, subtle feeling, just I, without any shape or form. How can it relate to this so-called world? How can this so-called world impact, interfere with, cause any addition or subtraction to this formless I? It's not possible. Only the thought that it is identified with through a body form creates the experience and the experiencer where there is none. It's very hot here.
Yeah. What is it? What's the temperature there?
It was 106 today.
Oh, wow.
Well, that was the feel-like temperature, which I don't even bother with the what is the actual temperature, because if it feels like 106, to me, it's 106. Like, the temperature will be 96, but it'll feel like 106. Yeah. And our humidity
is
very terrible.
It's 79 in my house today.
It's
it was
what?
79
79?
Here in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And you don't have humidity either, right? You have like more dry air? Yeah.
Oh, yes. Very nice. And I think it's probably cooler where Alan is, isn't it? It's cooler in Canada.
It's 70 right now, but it was 95 2 days ago. But it dropped very fast last 2 days. Right now it's 70. So.
Oh. Yeah.
Except now you get terrible snow, right? Like feet of snow.
Oh, yeah. A lot of feet of snow.
Here as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you get used to it.
Voila.
Yeah. It's good exercise to shovel.
I don't think so.
No. I say in the mantra when you do it, see? Maybe it'll
Yeah,
make it
yeah.
more fun. Yeah, we only have a few days with feet of snow here. It's not too bad. So a lot of like 4 and 5 inches. Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas you probably get no snow, right?
Hardly any. Sometimes a dusting. I think last year we got 2 inches on one day, and everybody was off school and off of work and everything. So,
yeah.
I mean, we have had some snow in the past where it's been not feet but heavy. But
yeah.
Right now they're expecting some storm that's coming up, Debbie. So
yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it's headed up the coast there.
Yep.
Virginia. On the Virginia beach is going to get it pretty hard.
Yep.
And North Carolina, I think South Carolina.
Yep.
Yeah. Buckle down, stay inside.
Indeed.
So we have this desire to know, but it's really to know myself. And so actually, in a sense, all knowing is actually knowing the self in a way, isn't it?
Well, you can't know yourself. You know everything that's not you, and what's
No.
left is your own self.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything you know can't be yourself. Like you can't
Right.
say,
Yeah.
I know myself.
That totally makes sense. Yeah.
Even the presence is the most subtle way you could say, I know myself, because you can identify with the subtle sense of presence. But that I is identifying with the subtle sense of presence, that's you. So there's no knowing of your own self. You're just self-evident. Because after all, as Maharaj says, where all experience ends, there you are. You're self-evident because you cannot be removed. Whereas presence, you know, you can very much, okay, feeling the subtle sense of presence, the just I, just I, just I. But that's a layer of illusion as well.
Represented to its fullest extent if one considers only the
But now, when you have this, okay, presence, whether presence is there or not, I am, but this I am can't be known. That's just the self-evident you are. You are that.
Can you call what is it can you call that knowing itself? It knows itself as self-evident.
No, it's self-evident because the same as a room, a lot of people are in the room, a lot of people leave the room is still there. So, underneath, like here you have presence, and on top of presence, we say on top, but there's no on top nor on bottom. But let's, for example, presence, the world is projected on this presence. The body form you're holding, the activities, the experiencer, the experiences, all this sort of thing is in presence, which we'll call consciousness, the bubble of illusion. Then there's this subtle, just I, the formless I. But this formless I, this presence, there, you know, this presence can be known. Now, without
Yes.
this body form, there's no knowing of presence. But with the body form and within the illusion, you can know the sense of
Yes.
existence. Without the illusion, when the body drops, the knower of the sense of existence is just the sense of existence is no longer known through that individual unit, that body-based telescope, basically. But again, just like all the people, we have a full room, and then one by one they leave, but the room, it's ready for more people to come. It doesn't say like, oh, I'm empty, so now I fold into myself and I go out of existence. No, now more people come in. The knowledge that there's a room is there because now there's objects, so to speak, in the room. But the room didn't change. And I'm saying room, space, outside, inside, whatever. This body is no more. The other bodies are there. All the bodies fall. That you are is still there. We talked about that. If this whole earth just boom, gone, it does not affect you even a little tiny bit.
Just question.
Yes.
When keep in contact with the self. They say just more formless, formless, just I, just I, just I. Does that mean to reaching a point there's no identification at all?
That's the point where you're identifying with the sense of presence or the just I feeling as I. That's I without any shape or form. But the understanding then, the more you identify with the sense of presence, number one, you're out of the worldly illusion because you're formless, formless presence. You're operating in the world as formless presence. The knowingness that presence is known, this arrives, and that's that there is no concepts. There's no concept of presence, no concept of anything, because it's just that's that black hole that sucks in all concepts. Even this concept, I exist, is not there.
Okay. Because sometimes reaching a point where everything is quiet, I think that, okay, there's nothing, that's exactly. And finally, there's a little something, but something perceiving this whole thing. With no, I struggle. Do that is identification, or I say maybe this is it.
Because there's
perceiving, but no identification with who's perceiving.
When you are with your own selfless self, and even presence is known as just an illusory layer, nothing is in back of that. That's the self-evident self. And now, of course, because then people will say, oh, well, how do I stay that way? But you are that way. So now do your job, do your duties, take care of your responsibilities, knowing that all this illusion is just illusion because that you are. So there's a lot of, you know, that's where there's some confusion of like, wow, okay. Sitting in meditation, presence has dissolved, and yet I am. There's not even knowingness because there's nothing to know. It's the nothing is really what we can only say. And then, oh, now I'm not meditating. I'm not experiencing that absence of experience anymore. Now experiences are coming in my purview. In my awareness, there are objects. In my awareness, there's a sense of existence. All these things are in my awareness. But okay, you're knowing yourself in a real sense. That's what Maharaj talks about, that conviction. Oh, so that I am that. And now you do your job, do your duties, take care of your responsibilities, enjoy, go outside, play in the sun, do whatever you like. Go see movies, watch TV. You're not a stone. But the knowingness is there. So that anytime anything appears in your experience that it's true, you absolutely know it's false without even having to go through the discriminating, because the discriminating is just what's true, what's false. The you that you are is the true, and anything else is false. And then from this position, you say, okay, what happens when the body form dies? Well, there, nothing. The body doesn't take away, add to, or take away anything from that you are. And even presence, the feeling I exist, the sense of existence, doesn't add to or take away that you are.
Yeah, that's just a tool. For a limited time, there's a tool to perceive from that. Exactly. And that's what I am. Who used this tool? This body.
Exactly. Like,
who use all the body?
Click with the body and you say, I.
Yeah.
Prior to click with the body, you had no idea of I.
Yeah.
No knowledge of your own existence. And the knowledge of existence only appears within the illusion, because it's a layer of knowing. You can't be known. You are the knower. And the only way is the conviction of the self-evident. Oh, This is why Ranjit Maharaj famously said, "Everything I speak about is not true, but the one for whom I speak is true." And Sri Ramaka Maharaj said, "You're illusion, I'm illusion, the entire world is illusion." Because even somebody in the ashram, they said, "Well, if I'm illusion, are you illusion?" Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Why are we having this dialogue? Basically for entertainment. Because whether you know yourself or not, you are. You can't take away. And all the knowingness is only within the illusion. Anything can be known other than yourself is illusion. And yet, while holding this body form, do your job, do your duties, enjoy. But know that when this body is no more, okay. And even if you're on your deathbed and you say, "Oh, but my children," or this and that, your children are your own self. When the conviction is there, you know that whether this body is or not, you say, "Oh, I'll miss my children." Well, no, you won't, because you are your children. And you could always say you're experiencing the children missing you through the concept of being your children. And yet, all of that's still in the illusion. Because this, where you are, you cannot raise any concept, anything. Even trying to do so, it's like it sucks in. That's why it's like a black hole. It just, when you are with your own self, attention with attention, consciousness with consciousness, presence with presence, and there's nothing. However, body says, "Knock, knock on the door. Who's there?" Nobody's there. Somebody had to be there to say, "Nobody's there." Spontaneous conviction. Because there's no time, there's no space, there's no nothing. Even you can't say you're experiencing this nothing. Because it's not an experience. And when Maharaj says, "No experience, no experiencer, no witness, no witnesser, nothing is there except your selfless self. There is no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master, nothing is there."
I had sort of an interesting dream today where it didn't last long, but it was when the dream ended, somehow I was able to occasionally the dream would reappear again, the same dream, and it was like it was always there available to me, but the dream itself was just this it was a conglomeration of it's like a whole bunch of beings at a party. But they had no faces really. They were indistinct forms, just kind of like smatterings of color or whatever. But it was like it was sort of like I was them and they were me, because the dream was me, and the dream's made of me, and they were made of the dream. So it was like everything all at once. All beings at once were this dream.
Was this in the waking state?